Welcome to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Well, we are in an election season, a presidential election that will take place exactly 2 months from today. And our country is very much divided. The ongoing protests throughout the country with different movements in the nation will tell us that. Are we able to bring the country together despite the racial and political divide that is gripping our nation? Our guest tonight will help us dive into that issue, and we hope you will do the same. The phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'd like to hear your questions or your comments. Joining us tonight is Jamila Bay. She's a political analyst. And Adrian Fikes, a health and wellness coach. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Ms. Bay, Ms. Fikes, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Jamila, I am going to start with you. I mentioned we have not only a racial divide, but we have a political divide in this nation. And I don't know if you actually can separate the two, race and politics. In many ways, they go hand in hand. Talk a little bit about where we are at this moment in our nation dealing with the divide that we see.
Well, in America, race undergirds all that we are, all that we do, all that we will ever be. Where are we today? We are where we were when Du Bois told us that the problem of this country would be race. We are where we were when Lincoln said that a house divided against itself cannot stand. We are where we were when, my ancestors were set loose with nothing and called nothing and every promise broke, every promise made to them was broken. America has never reckoned with the racial aspect of the creation of this nation, and the flames rise again. The fire's never been put out. These embers are still hot.
And we see these fires going on literally within the last few days in Kenosha, all throughout other cities. We've got an eye now on Rochester with the story coming out with a black man with video showing dying at the hands of police back in March that we're just seeing now. So, Adrian Fikes, when we see all of this, when we concede, I'm assuming that you would agree that there's a divide in this country, we know that that has an effect on people, on their mental health, on their physical health. What are you seeing in terms of being a health and wellness coach on, one, the effects of this divide and how folks can manage their way through it, if there's such a thing of managing through it?
Sure. So the work that I do is soul power coaching, and it is to help people really stand firm in their deepest truth, have consistent access to unspeakable joy, and actively contribute to a more racially equitable community. And what I'm seeing, particularly in the Black community, but with anyone who's really paying attention, is this, pandemic-sized stress of trying to cope with racism, trying to understand the breaking down of the divide between work and school and home. And people are at a breaking point.
And Jamila, once we talk about the country being divided, I'm wondering if we can ever say that the country was united. I mean, we all call the United States of America. But obviously that ties back right to the Revolutionary War when you had 13 colonies, which they basically were separate. And now they say, okay, we're going to be united. So that word, kind of gets thrown around. But have we ever truly been united as a nation, whether it be politically or racially?
Never. And I there are a lot of people who go, oh, Jamila, you are just such a pessimist. No, I'm a realist and words mean things. When you have United States and you have fully, half of the people at that time in this country being enslaved, when you have enumerated in the Constitution that my humanity, your humanity, was only three-fifths the labor of a white man. When we have, you know, Native people whose blood quantum is qualified as to how much of an Indian they are. And again, everything in this country comes down to race, and America has always been an ideal designed for white men and their progeny and their women. Others have managed to ascend to that, looking at the Irish, looking at the Germans, looking at Jews. Others have managed to come in, as we see South Asians coming in and amassing great wealth, having great mobility of class in this country. But black folks here, we have never been afforded class ascendancy. We can strive all we want. Many of us do manage to break through, but the vast majority of us have never been designed for the American experiment, and that's why we don't enjoy the American dream.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight we're talking about the racial and political divide in the United States. We'd love to hear from you. Do you think that divide actually exists? Is it real in your mind? And if so, how do you think we can heal it? Adrian Fikes, as a life coach, do you have to deal with the issue of race? Does that have to be tackled when you're dealing and talking with your clients?
It is when you come talk to me. In fact, part of the work that I've been doing in the last few months is to help people, you know, whether it is white people who are coming to terms mm-hmm. with the fact that their black coworkers are exhausted, or black people who are coming to terms with the fact that every day they are having to invite their coworkers into their home on video. And the exhaustion of that mask that we've been wearing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually have been encouraging not only my clients and people that they deal with, but the greater coaching community to step forward into this conversation. You know, when we talk about living your best life, you cannot live your best life if you are oppressing someone else.
Mm. And I'm going to tell you, Adrian, you bring up such a good point when... you know, you talked about, white folks who are trying to come to terms, and some of them who have really good intentions and want to do the right thing and want to, so, you know, open up a conversation, but they're not really sure how to do it or what to say and if they should say something. And I have found that has been such a big issue today with everything that's going on. So what advice would you give those who are white, who want to do the right thing, who want to talk about it, who aren't sure what to say to their black friends?
Well, the most important thing that I think they need to hear is give us the space to pick and choose when we engage and when we choose not to.
Mm-hmm.
From moment to moment, you know, people are hanging on by a thread on a good day,
mm-hmm.
and they may not have the energy. It may be the afternoon they were good, and later on that evening they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And it is critical that you give people the space to deal with this. We are not responsible for educating white people, and so when we do it, consider it a gift.
Mm. 202-319. That was kind of heavy there. A gift. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Jamila Bay, did I hear, was that you that said thank you?
Yes, it was. You know, there are a number of jurisdictions around the country, nowhere near enough, but I'm going to give the little cookies where they're deserved, that have declared racism to be a public health issue.
Yes.
From everything from the time that a black baby is conceived in this country to the time where a black elder goes and joins the ancestors in this country, we are under resourced. Our mothers are not given, you know, the adequate full range of care, not just health care, but care as what it is to be a pregnant woman bringing new life into the world. Our babies are seen as older than they are. They're, you know, by the time American children are three, they start to understand the distinctions in race, and the lighter ones understand that they have privilege over the darker ones. By the time our boys in particular, but absolutely our girls too, hit puberty, they're seen as, you know, scary, grown, over-sexual adults. Even when they do well and graduate, they're still not paid what a high school dropout white boy is paid. We fight the aggressions, micro and macro, at work. And then when we need health care, we're denied pain medication. We're seen as being not as important and more expendable. When we finally get to the end of life care, we are likelier to be abused and have, you know, and have elder care issues that wind up in front of state attorneys general. Being black is a deficit, is a detriment in this nation, in these united so-called states. And the fact that we're now starting to have people such as my esteemed colleague here, who are starting to tell white people to their faces, look, it's not on us to get you over your pathology because it's sick the way you treat us. Hey, my hat is off.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight we're talking about politics and race and how they come together, setting up a divide in our nation, and how do we close that gap, especially now during a presidential election. It's even more in the forefront, and obviously with the issues, police involved, shootings and deaths at the of black folks at the hands of police, even highlighting that issue even more. Let's go to our phone lines. Alan is on the line calling from College Park. Go right ahead, Alan, with your question or comment.
My comment is, sir, is I think we need to also look with inside our communities, and we need to respect ourselves,
mm-hmm.
our elders. My biggest that I see is when I go into high schools and I've gone into my son's school.
Alan, I'm going to hold you just for a second so you can clarify. When you say we, are you talking about black folks?
Yes.
Okay.
Black folks.
Mm-hmm. Go right ahead.
Going to the schools, there's a total disrespect of teachers, each other. And when I came through school, I'm 50, mm-hmm. so I'm not that old, but we had a general respect for teachers. We didn't curse at them. We didn't have things to say behind their backs. We didn't disrupt class. It wasn't perfect, but we had restraint. We
mm-hmm.
had self-respect. We, you know, teased our students, but we didn't go as far as to degrade our teachers.
And so you think that's predominantly a black thing, Alan?
In inner city schools, it's not a predominantly black thing, but if we want to fix us,
mm-hmm.
we can't expect someone else to fix us if we don't look at ourselves.
Okay, well, thank you for your call, Alan. Adrian, what do you think about what Alan is saying? I mean, this isn't anything new. There's always been segments, you know, of the African-American community, right, of uplift and say we can't count on other folks. You know, we've got to do our own thing and police ourselves. Does Alan have a point? Is he too far on the other side?
Well, Alan does have a point. I think racial justice begins with your individual transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Ella Baker used to always ask the question, who are your people?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have systemically, you know, as my colleague has said, we have been attacked in ways that, you know, you look at the growth and development of an individual, certainly within the last 50 years, but greater, you know, since we've been on these shores, there have been systems and institutions that have pulled our families apart, that have made mm-hmm. sure we don't know who we are. And so there is a lack of respect because there's no relationship. And so we've got to start by, you know, he's speaking my language in that, you know, the coaching that I do always begins with you as an individual, what's going on within you, and then we look at the groups and the organizations and the ecosystem that you live in. So I think that the respect that we want to see from these children begins with teaching them who they are, but it also begins with us teaching ourselves, because we can't teach someone what we don't know.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight we're talking about the racial and political divide in our nation. We'd love to hear from you. The phone lines are open. Jamila Bey, we know that Donald Trump's consistently since his inauguration gets at minimum 39% to 40% support. It really doesn't move off of that number. Now, he may fluctuate up a little bit, but usually he doesn't go below 39% or 40%. Some blame him for dividing the nation along racial lines for his hidden and unhidden statements. But, you know, there could be an argument that Donald Trump is just a symptom of what's always been, as you said, undergirding our politics. Talk a little bit about the politics today. How is that contributing to this divide that we agree is happening and exists?
Donald Trump pulled the hood off at the KKK meeting. These folks used to have to be, you know, KKK clandestine when they made their statements or wanted to make it clear that they believe that there's a hierarchy that they're at the top of. No more. From the time that he, remember, it wasn't just, I can't diminish the terribleness, but it wasn't only that Donald Trump made fun of the disabled reporter on the campaign trail back in 2016. This man stood up and pointed to black people who were his supporters at the time, And you know, said get them out of here. You know, I'll pay your lawyer bills if anybody wanted to rough up any of the black people who were showing up to his rally.
I want you to hold your point right there, Jamila, because the music is playing. But I definitely want you to finish what you're talking about, because I already got a question for you on a point you've made. We're going to continue this conversation. Derek on the phone line, stay right there. We will get to you. The phone lines are still open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight we're talking about the racial and political divide in our nation. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. The original Quiet Storm with John Mons is next on 96.3 WHUR. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. Tonight we're talking about the racial divide that does exist politically and racially, obviously, well, maybe not so obvious to all, in the United States. Our guest tonight is Jamila Bey, political analyst, and Adrian Fikes. She is a life coach, soul power coach, slash soul power coach. Jamila, you were making your point about President Trump and President Trump pulling the hood off the KKK, and go ahead and finish your point, please.
And they're free and empowered to walk about, you know, as demographics in this nation shift such that white straight Christians are no longer the majority everywhere politically. They are afraid of that. They are afraid of losing the at least the numerical power they have over black people, they have over Latino people. And what Donald Trump represents is the time where there were indeed sundown towns, the time where the sheriff could say, I don't care, I'm a do whatever I wish to you. Mm-hmm. And there was no recourse. So for those who like that idea, Donald Trump wants to bring that back. That whole Make America Great Again slogan came right out of Nazi Germany. That's the Third Reich slogan. And we Americans who do not study history, do not recognize that history repeats itself, are seeing this. So these people feel, these white people, it's not all white people. I'm related to somebody who leads a Blacks for Trump organization. So it ain't all just white people.
Mm-hmm.
But people who want to believe that the past was best, when folks knew their place and you didn't have to think too much, and America was great just because somebody told you it was, that's what Donald Trump represents, and there are a great many people who agree with him.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. That's the phone line if you'd like to get in on this conversation. Let's go back to the phone lines. Derek is calling from San Antonio, Texas. Go right ahead, Derek.
Good evening. How are you all doing?
Good. Thank you.
When I look at what our president, and I can speak as a private citizen now, because after my 20-plus years of service to our nation, his attitude and what he's imbued across this country, you could clearly see it throughout the ranks of our military, with leaders being toxic. This progression of African Americans throughout the military as a whole, there's nothing that I would hang my hat on and say, whenever a president is so unethical, how can he be a commander in chief? How do you follow someone who lacks the moral turpitude to accept responsibility for his actions? And I thought it was very distasteful when he said, I know more than the generals do.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't.
Well, I tell you, Derek, I think there was a new poll out that shows the majority of the military folks who were polled now support Joe Biden, and normally military folks support Republicans. Was that your experience when you were in the military in terms of presidential politics?
That is exactly many of my colleagues supported Republican presidents because of this notion that they were for the military, and that was the mantra that they hung their hat on. As a senior officer, we were supposed to be apolitical and not choose political parties openly, but we supported the commander-in-chief regardless. But I've served under Bush, President Obama, and briefly under President Trump. And I will just tell you that I saw the disdain that people had for President Obama because he was purely an African-American.
Mm-hmm.
Had nothing to do with his moral character. And I could begin to see the racism in some of my colleagues to the point that people said they weren't going to retire or leave the Army because they didn't want President Obama's name on their retirement certificate.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Derek, you are offering some very interesting insight. Thank you so much for sharing that. And if you've moved into retirement, enjoy it. And thank you for your 20 years of service.
Thank you for this program. Thank you, Adrian, for putting this out on Facebook so we could see and join in. Continue to do the great work you all are doing and continue to get this message out there.
Thank you so much. So, Adrian, I wanted to ask you, does Derek's experience as a black man in the military, if we know the military usually supports Republican candidates, Republican president, and historically, folks may say the Republican sort of platform doesn't really cater too much to black issues. And here he is a military man, and the majority of those support the Republican candidate. And now he's told us his experience in the military when Barack Obama was president. What does that do to a person in the military that has to kind of be in that environment? How do you handle yourself?
It's toxic. It's absolutely toxic, but I will say this.
Mm-hmm.
Systems create predictable results.
Hmm.
My father was in the military. I was born into a military family. I worked as a military contractor. These systems are not new. They are impacting a larger population than they had before. They are impacting a lighter community than they were. You look at the way that we have invited military people, we've invited black and brown people from other countries to come and serve in the military,
mm-hmm.
and then they get home and we're deporting them. So it is it's an awakening that is happening, but it's almost like the rest of the country woke up black one day.
Hmm.
And they're like,
right.
What the heck is going on? Which is why what's so critical is for us to see, you know, as Jamila was talking about the history, it's not just understanding that there is history, it's understanding that impact that history has had on your life and why you are where you are today.
Mm, great
because
point.
Because these systems are creating options, mm-hmm. and they are closing doors, and they are creating harm in a way that we don't reflect often enough about how these policies, you know, people say that the military was great for people, but, you know, how many of us grew up with a, you know, father that served in Vietnam?
Mm-hmm.
Was it great for him when he came home? Where, you know, you can look at the policies and see when they turn from soldiers to collateral,
mm-hmm.
to, you know, they dehumanize the military. And it's taken this long for some who were of privilege to experience the harm firsthand and want to do enough to do something to stop it. So the question is, do you want to fix the system, or do you just want to return to your place of privilege?
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, an important conversation tonight and topic, the racial and political divide in our nation. How can it be healed? Jamila Bay, William Barr appeared on CNN with Wolf Blitzer and said, and I'm kind of paraphrasing, obviously, hey, listen, Jacob Blake, the black man that was shot 7 times in the back in Kenosha, he was committing a felony while armed. That's why he was shot. Now, there's really no, he didn't provide any proof of what felony he was committing. He also said, and again, I'm paraphrasing, racism, systemic racism, doesn't exist. It definitely doesn't exist in the ranks of the police departments. And in many ways, you know, black folks kind of already understand that, you know, they're going to be put in a position where they're going to be profiled. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but that pretty much was the gist of much of his conversation and what gathered headlines. So when Adrian talks about systematic things and endemic policies, is William Barr just an example of that at the top of the heap of those kinds of systemic policies that affect black and brown people?
You know, absolutely. If one does not know her rights, she has none. We're guaranteed as American citizens by the 14th Amendment equal protection under the law. And when we have a sitting attorney general who is praising the extrajudicial execution of an American citizen on American soil with no due process whatsoever, to call that dangerous, I think, is an understatement.
Mm.
What we have right now is a robber baron sitting in the White House. You know, there were bounties on the heads of American soldiers. One of the reasons why the military knows better than to trust this president who's sitting in the White House. Things are not normal. Things are not normal, and something is rotten, even though we're not in Denmark. this presidency is a bastardization of all that America could possibly be. And it's sad, and to fail to recognize it is to be literally and actually endangered. This is a president that fired, who fired the pandemic response team? Republican, Democrat, rich, poor, everybody gets sick. Why? Why would you get rid of the people who can keep you healthiest? Why are our National Institute of Health doctors having to have private security right now because of literal and actual threats to their safety and their lives? This is not normal. And any time you talk with people who have seen fascist regimes, authoritarian regimes come to power, they all talk about the necessity to call out when things ain't right. When you get lulled into overstimulation and, oh, it's too much, I can't think anymore, which is, you know, again, that's a health concern. It, you know, stress causes higher blood pressure. Stress can aggravate ulcers. Stress causes inflammation in the body. It's hard to be attentive to the news and be a healthy human individual. But right now, what we have to do is we have to, you know, gird our loins and put on our big girl and big boy pants and resist. We have to keep our wits about us and say, hey, this doesn't look right, this doesn't feel right. And I'm going to tell you, this attorney general ain't right. That how the blankety blank do you call for an ex? Do you say that an extrajudicial execution, a man shot 7 times in the back, to not even say, well, that was a little excessive, but he didn't even say that. He said that it was okay, and that is not okay. That's a huge problem, and it should get everybody out to the polls because the literal soul of this democracy, and I don't even believe in a soul because I think it's just something we were told, but, you know, if we want rule of law, we need to make sure that November 3rd, we plan on packing a basket and going to the polls.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Our conversation tonight, the racial and political divide in the United States. Let's go back to the phone lines if we can, and Lawrence is on the line calling from Virginia. Go right ahead, Lawrence.
Yes, sir. Just like the sister was saying, this thing has gotten completely ugly, as it is written in the scriptures.
Lawrence, I think we're having a problem with your line. See if you, I'm not sure if you're on your cell phone, but you may want to get on your home phone and give us a call back. If I can, before we take a quick break, Adrian, I wanted to ask you about the latest issue that we've seen here in Rochester that was back in March, Daniel Prude. We've got new video again of a black man dying while in police custody in some form. How do we handle and process, and I know I asked you about this a little earlier, but when these hits literally keep coming, right? What do you do with that? Do we call Adrian Fikes and say, I need to talk this out? Do we talk to our wife, our friends? Do we just sit and try to think about it? Do we turn the TV off? What do we do?
So, yes, absolutely. I would never discourage someone from calling me. But the bottom line is we need deep roots and bubble wrap to cope with this. First of all, let me say, stop sharing these videos. Sharing trauma online is not social justice. It is trauma. You know, at this point, you either understand it's been happening for 400 years or you don't. Stop traumatizing people sharing these videos. Second of all, protect yourself from these images. Turn the television off. Turn the images off. Decide, create boundaries around how you take this information in. I refuse to watch these videos because I understand what it does to me. So, you know, I talk about getting deep into rooted who you are, what you need to know, what you need to be doing in this moment, checking in with yourself. How am I? How much unspeakable joy is flowing through me right now? And is that enough? And if it is not, what do I need to do in this moment? And trust yourself to know that the world is going to continue turning while you take a moment for yourself.
Sorry, go right ahead. Finish up.
It's about standing in your power and understanding your truth. It is the most effective path to healing and justice.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Important information and advice being shared tonight by our guests and our callers. We've got a little bit more of this segment of Insight, Racial Divide, politically, racially, in the United States. 202-319-7810. This is the Insight segment on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. We'll be right back after this quick break. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment, and tonight we're talking about the divide in our nation, be it racial or political, or both, which is what we see. How can we heal that divide? Is it possible? And was the country ever really united? 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Jamila Bey, when we look at some of the protests that we've seen here where I sit in the district, in many of those protests, particularly like this morning, you had protesters that were in front of D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser's house. They were protesting the fatal police-involved shooting of an 18-year-old black male in the district. And the majority of those protesters that I saw were white. Many of the protesters that we see out today in the streets of Kenosha, in the streets of Minneapolis, and in different parts of the U.S. where we see protests, you see a good conglomeration of all kinds of colors. So when we're talking about the divide, is that a place where we do see a unity that is different than what we had seen before in our nation's history?
It is indeed a welcome and necessary change. You know, we here in the U.S. still have the benefit of our First Amendment freedoms. And you know, everybody can say, oh, yeah, freedom of religion, freedom of speech. You get a lot who remember freedom of the press, but we are also guaranteed the right to petition our government for redress of grievances. We have the right to peaceably assemble. And when you don't have the mayor's deputy's cell phone number in your own phone, you show up with a bunch of people and you hold signs and you chant. I think that a whole lot of folks, black folks, we've known it for a long time, but I think a lot of, you know, white folks who are coming to these protests recognize the minute we allow we allow the powers that be to over-police, to over-enforce, to disenfranchise the least of us, that ratchets up. That's how it worked in Nazi Germany. That's how it worked in Serbia and Croatia. That's how it works in Russia and its surrounding principalities there. The thing that makes me very excited and gives me the slightest glimmer of hope in this pessimist heart of mine is that people realize that we cannot have striated systems of freedom. Either we can all enjoy and our rights and our liberties, or none of us can. And so it is a new thing to see so many, you know, white folks out there wearing, you know, Black Lives Matter T-shirts as the sentiment, you know, people of all races coming together to say, stop killing us. I think it's a good thing. I hope that they show up on November 3rd as well.
Adrian, let's talk a little bit about symbols, right, and imagery. When we're talking about a nation divided politically and racially, where politics sort of comes into that issue in terms of memory, right, and history and commemoration. Here in the district, the mayor put together an advisory group to look at, parks and recreation, statues, buildings that were named and displayed or displays of folks who may have had racist themes in their past. And part of that is a couple of them said, well, maybe we should rename the Washington Monument and the Jefferson Memorial. And the mayor had to back up and say, okay, wait a minute. We're not going to deal with federal properties, just sort of local properties. And there was a big backlash once you start talking about renaming things and taking things down. Is that an important aspect of a reconciliation politically and racially about what we see and what we decide we want to memorialize?
Most definitely. A picture's worth a thousand words. If you take everyone out of the city, I can show you who you are by looking at what you are memorializing.
Mm-hmm.
The statues of these racist traitors need to come down. And I'm sure the Washington Monument would, Ona Judge's name would look fantastic on the Washington Monument. Mm-hmm. You know,
the runaway slave that Washington tried to catch and never did.
Never caught. Mm-hmm. The beautiful book. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a wonderful story of black liberation, of the struggle for Black people to, for voices to be heard, for our dignity and our humanity to be respected. And every symbol, every, you know, I'm here in the city of Alexandria, home of George Washington. We're just down the street from Mount Vernon. Ask me if I want his name gone, you know, all the statues gone. You know, the public high school is T.C. Williams. T.C. Williams was a rabid segregationist. And we've named our only public high school against someone who didn't think Black people needed to be educated. Mm-hmm. When my daughter came through that school, what do you think the school system told her? What was the message that was sent when she walked through those school doors as a scholar, as an athlete, as a musician, and realized the name she was wearing on her uniform was someone who hated the very breath she breathed?
Mm-hmm.
These matter, and we need to really look at the messages that we are sending about who belongs and who is included. Don't just put out a statement that we are, you know, kind and generous and Black Lives Matter if your policies don't reflect it.
Jamila Bey, the politician who's the Democratic nominee for President of the United States, visited Kenosha, Wisconsin today. And Joe Biden says, hey, listen, if I am elected president, I'm going to put together a White House commission on police violence and how it relates to African Americans. Is that a start if he's elected?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That is absolutely a start. But the follow through has to happen. Studying a thing can take as long as you want it to. Implementation of best practices is what we're interested in. So yes, commission that, you know, put together that commission. Commission that report, put into place task forces that will absolutely hold these municipalities to the best practices that are determined in those commissions. And I want to point out, we don't need to study this to death. You know, quit shooting Black people in the back. You need help. Go and look at various policing systems all around the world. Even South Africa today doesn't kill as many Black people as, no, you know, as the American South police forces. So there's information out there. There are ways to do it. It is a good step. I welcome that step. We should do that step, but we need to step on and keep a step in, and instead of getting stuck in that first great motion.
We've got we've got about a minute left, and Adrian, about 30 seconds each, if you can give me your final thoughts, and go right ahead, Adrian.
So if you go to 16greats.com, you can look at Joy, Genealogy, and Justice. This is the path. Become a policy expert by studying your own genealogy. When you understand where you came from, when you understand how these policies have impacted you, it will encourage you to get out here and create the changes that we need to heal our country.
And Jamila, your final comments?
Wear your mask. It's not a hoax. Wash your hands. Keep yourself safe. Turn off the TV. I hate to say turn off the radio, but not this program.
There you go.
Live, laugh, love, get some exercise, and please show up at the polls November 3rd.
She is Jamila Bey, political analyst, and she is Adrian Fikes, a life coach, soul power life coach. We thank you so much, both of you, for joining us tonight. Great conversation. Thank you for your insight.
Thank you.
That's the Daily Drum on HRR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Thursday, September 3rd. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Have a great night.